Good morning and welcome to All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. My name is Francis Blight and this is the Advent Sunday service, 29th of December. I'm glad you joined us for our online worship today and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. All the content that you need to participate can be found in a Bible and notice sheet. Each year at the beginning of Advent, we focus on Jesus Christ's promised return to judge the living and the dead. During this time together, we'll worship God and pray to him. We will seek the forgiveness of our sins, and we'll listen to teaching from Jesus about his second coming and consider its meaning for our lives. Well, as we begin, let's come before God in prayer together. Heavenly Father, at the first Christmas, you sent your son born as a baby in Bethlehem. We thank you that he'll come again as the powerful ruler and judge. Please prepare us for his return. Make us ready. We come before you now and open our hearts to you. Please speak to us from your word and align us to your plans and will. And we ask this for your glory. Amen. We begin our service by lighting the first candle on the Advent wreath and praying the Advent Collect. You can find this at the top of page 2 of the notice sheet. This collect is a prayer asking God to prepare us for Jesus' return when he'll judge the living and the dead. Specifically, we're asking for God's grace to get rid of sinful things in our lives and for his protection so that we may enter into eternal life when Jesus comes to judge. Elishama Deboer will light the candle and then the Deboer family will lead us in the prayer.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility.
That on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty, to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal.
Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Our first hymn is a new song written by Matt Redman. It focuses on Jesus' death, resurrection, and return, calling us to pour out our praise upon him.
Upon a hill, a perfect Savior. Upon that day, the greatest love, the punishment that should have fallen on us. Upon a hill, upon a hill, upon his head, a crown of upon his heart, a broken world. The wage of sin, the weight of our transgressions, upon him, upon him. Christ has died, we are forgiven in Christ. Shall come again. Praise the King. Praise the King. Upon our hearts, his name
died, we are forgiven and Christ alive. We are the risen and he shall come again. Praise the King, praise the King.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. He's the King over all kings. When he returns, everyone will bow to worship him. Every mouth will acknowledge that he is the true Lord. We confess now that he is our King. We declare our loyalty to him, and we thank you that he's our perfect Savior. Let's remain in an attitude of prayer as we come to seek God for the forgiveness of our sins. The words are on page 2 of the notice sheet. Let's have a moment of quiet before we say the confession together. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Therefore, in the light of Christ, let us confess our sins. God, through Jesus Christ, will judge the secret thoughts of all. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Turn to us again, O God, our Savior, and let your anger cease from us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Show us your compassion, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Your salvation is near for those who fear you, that glory may dwell in our land. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's Bible reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, starting at verse 24, and it will be read to us by the Frugio family.
Today's reading is taken from Mark 13, verses 24 to 37. Mark 13, verses 24 to 37. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken.
At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds and from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that this is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch.
Therefore, keep watch, because you do do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be.
Well, do please have your Bible open at Mark chapter 13. We'll look at some of those verses in this sermon. And the title for today is The Advent Secret. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that you speak to us, you're not silent. And we pray that you would teach us now and bless us with knowledge to help us live in a way that pleases you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Advent is an old English word that we don't use so much these days. Today, instead, we would use words like arrival, coming, or appearing. Your mother might say to you that your cousins will be coming to stay with you at your house, obviously COVID restrictions permitting. But when the day comes and they arrive, that is the advent of their coming. So Advent means to arrive or to appear, and it was particularly used for the arrival of an important person, like a king or an emperor. Jesus came in the past 2,000 years ago. He was born in Bethlehem. That was Jesus' first Advent, his first coming, and we celebrate this on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But on Advent Sunday, we remember that he's going to come again in the future. He won't come as a baby. No, Jesus will come from heaven as the powerful king who will judge the living and the dead. In today's Bible reading from Mark's Gospel, Jesus tells us some things about his second advent, and that's the focus of this talk. I've got three questions, and on page 4 of the notice sheet, the space for you to take notes if that's helpful. I'm going to ask and answer each of these questions, and the third one is the longest section. So firstly, what will happen at Jesus' advent? Please look with me at verse 26. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. As I explained last week, the Son of Man was described in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. Perhaps you've heard the famous story of Daniel in the lion's den. Well, that Daniel, who God saved from the lions, had a vision of one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Daniel lived 500 to 600 years before Jesus' birth. But the New Testament section of the Bible shows us that Jesus was the person who Daniel saw in his vision. When Jesus comes again, he won't be born as a baby in a humble stable. No, he'll come with great power. He'll be glorious to look at and brilliant. He will appear in the sky and the clouds. At his first advent, he was born in Bethlehem, and only a few people saw him. Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. At his second advent, everyone who is alive will see him. When he returns, he won't be anonymous, working in a chip shop in Brighton. No, he will return as the mighty God and King, coming to judge and rule humanity. Jesus goes on to tell us what he'll do when he returns. Verse 27. He will send his angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Jesus will return to save his chosen people. He'll send out his worker angels throughout God's creation, and they'll gather together all the people that God has elected for eternal life. That is, all the people that God's chosen to be in his new heaven and earth. The angels will gather them up. And this will be a mega event. It won't be a secret Advent. We won't miss this. It won't be that Jesus is working in the Specsaver finance department, you know, and he's hidden away somewhere. No, this is going to be something that everybody sees. Jesus' Advent will be exciting. And people who love Jesus look forward to it. I look forward to it with a sense of awe, a certain sense of fear, and trust in the Lord Jesus for this time. When I think about it, it's a sort of intake of breath moment of anticipation. It's going to be awesome. So do you look forward to Jesus' second advent? This will be the end of life as we know it, because the King is coming to bring in the fullness of his kingdom. Second question. When will Jesus' advent happen? People are very interested to know the date when Jesus will return. 2,000 years have already passed since his birth. Will he come in the next few years, or will it be in thousands of years? Jesus tells us that nobody knows the date when he will return. Please look with me at verse 32. No one knows about that day or hour. So there you have it. No one knows the date when Jesus, the Son of Man, will appear glorious in the clouds. And just to be clear, Jesus continues, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. The angels are close to God. They serve him. But they don't know the date. The Son, well, he's the Son of God, God's Son, super close to God. But even he doesn't know. Only the Father knows when the Son of Man will appear. And he's not telling. So the Bible doesn't give us the date of Jesus' coming advent. Jesus tells us that he's definitely coming back. We can be sure of that. But we don't know when it will happen. And this is the Advent secret. God the Father is keeping it top secret. So if in the future you hear someone announce the date of Jesus' return, don't pay any attention to them. Instead, believe Jesus' words here in verse 32. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So Jesus is going to return in great glory as King, but we don't know when it will happen. Jesus tells us it's going to happen, and we know that his teaching is reliable because of his resurrection from the dead. Third and final question. What should we do while we wait for Jesus' advent? Because no one knows the day or the hour of his return, Jesus tells us in verse 33 to be on guard. Be alert. You don't know when that time will come. Then he gives a brief illustration to show us how we should live while we wait for his advent. I'm going to read verse 34 to you, and as I read, try to imagine it in your mind. It's like a man going away, says Jesus. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Jesus, in this brief picture, was the man who was going away. He's talking about himself. After his resurrection, Jesus left his disciples and returned to heaven. He went away. His house refers to his household, that is, his followers, God's people, the church. Jesus leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his duties, and tells the doorkeeper to keep watch. Now, this applied especially to his first disciples that he said it to, in that moment. The apostles, it applies particularly to church leaders down through the centuries, and those with responsibilities in the church. So we should think of church wardens, PCC, people leading growth groups, those with ministries in the church. And Jesus gives tasks to every Christian in his household to fulfill. We're to do these tasks faithfully until he returns again. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you are serving. Jesus has given me the task of leading All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. He's given me the task of loving my wife Georgina and leading my family to follow him. He's given each person in our church community tasks in his house, in his kingdom. Tasks in the local church, tasks in the workplace, tasks in your family. Whatever you do, it's the Lord Christ you are serving. And in the light of the fact that we don't know when Jesus will return, his emphasis is on faithfulness in the assignment. Jesus gave his original disciples kingdom tasks when he first said these words, and he still gives kingdom tasks to us today. So what does Jesus want us to do while we wait for his advent? We're to be faithful to him in our different spheres of responsibility, within the church, within the family, within the workplace, and in our schools and universities. Some might think that because Jesus is going to come back, well, we can just chillax, can't we? Nothing really matters in the day-to-day because he's going to bring a new kingdom and he's going to put everything right and sort it out. So put your feet up. Well, that approach doesn't fit with Jesus' teaching here. Verse 35. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. We don't know. That's the Advent secret. And God isn't going to reveal the date ahead of time. In the parable, the owner of the house might return in the evening, or later at midnight, or early in the morning, even at dawn when the cock crows. Those were the four watches of the night in Jesus' culture. Then Jesus' application comes, verse 36. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, that's the first disciples, I say to everyone, well, that includes you and me today, watch. So what is Jesus saying to us? Well, he isn't saying that we can never go to sleep. That would be impossible. We could do it for one or two nights, but after that we'd be in trouble. So Jesus doesn't mean that we should never go to sleep. And he also doesn't mean that we should never have a rest. The Sabbath day principle is still in operation. What Jesus wants is for us to be the people that he wants us to be, and to do the things that he wants us to do. It's about our beliefs and our behavior. Sleep is a metaphor for giving up on our Christian discipleship, giving up on living for him. Now, our church mission statement is to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. So Jesus wants us to be awake, seeking to know his word better day by day. In this regard, sleeping would be to say that knowing more about Jesus doesn't really matter, having no real focus on reading the Bible and seeking Jesus in prayer. Jesus wants us to be awake in making him known to others. In this regard, sleeping would mean not really troubling yourself with the work and focus required to enable our church to reach out with the gospel, and indeed the challenge of seeking to share the gospel yourself personally. We have a mission to make Jesus known this Christmas time, but all the difficulties of COVID-19 and the restrictions can make us just focus on getting our work done and then getting cozy at home, sitting it out, biding our time. But we're not to go to sleep on our shared mission to make Jesus known. Fordham, Atash Green, and Colchester need to know the hope of the gospel more than ever this December. As Jesus' disciples, we're to obey his teaching. We're to do this prayerfully and with the Holy Spirit's help. Going to sleep in this sense would mean giving up on biblical morality. Maybe in regard to personal honesty in financial matters, or in matters of sexual practice, or in the language we use and the way we speak about other people. Going to sleep is a metaphor for, well, it doesn't really matter how we live. Most of all, going to sleep is forgetting that Jesus promised that he's going to come back. He's going to come back with great power and glory. Going to sleep is forgetting or a willful ignoring of his promised return. So Jesus says, be on guard, be alert, watch. Don't get sidetracked and deceived into giving up as a disciple. Why do we light candles during Advent? I come back to that question each year as we come to the Advent season, and I find it a difficult question to answer, especially because Advent in the wider culture has just been consumed into Christmas as a kind of run-up to Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, or just a shopping season. In a pre-electric world, lighting candles is what you did when you intended to stay awake after dark. It would therefore seem logical that we light the candles as a symbol of staying awake spiritually, staying alert, staying on mission and on message with Jesus. Now, I haven't actually found that in print anywhere to confirm it, but it would seem to me the obvious meaning of lighting the candles. Being alert means living each day as if Jesus is coming tomorrow, but planning ahead as if he will not return in our lifetime. This seems to me to be a healthy approach, since 2,000 years have already passed since his first advent. So if we believe that judge, then this stay awake command makes perfect sense. Don't go to sleep on following Jesus while you wait for his advent. Wake up. Jesus is coming back. So let me summarize as I finish. What will happen at Jesus' advent? He'll return in the clouds with great power and glory. His angels will gather his elect from throughout God's creation, and we want to be part of that gathering. When will Jesus' advent happen? Nobody knows except God the Father. This is the Advent secret. And what should we do while we wait for Jesus' advent? We should remain faithful in the work that Jesus has for us to do. There's the general will of God that's revealed in the Bible. We're to remain faithful in that. And then there are the specifics of our calling in our personal life, your gifting and the tasks that he's given particularly to you. Let's look forward to Jesus' return with eager expectation for all the good that is in store for those who are on message when he returns. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus told us about his second coming. We look forward to that day when he will return and your kingdom will fully come. While we wait, please empower us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh so that we can obey Jesus' teachings and honor you in the different responsibilities that you've given to each of us. We ask this in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. Well, our next song helps us to look to Jesus' advent with eager expectation. When he returns, we will find our rest in his kingdom. He will be the joy of our longing hearts, and he will raise us to his glorious throne. Come thou long expected Jesus.
Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation,
continuing in worship, we're going to declare our trust in God by saying the Apostles' Creed. The words are on page 3. And on this Advent Sunday, we particularly focus on our belief in his return as judge. He will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Roger Miles is going to lead us in prayer.
Suggested prayer for today that the Christian Institute has given to us, and there are sections for each day of this coming week, and I commend them to you if you would like to use them as the week goes on. So let's pray together as we bring our intercessory prayers to the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in this season of Advent, we come remembering your Son's words from Mark's Gospel, reminding us to keep watch. May we be found doing the tasks you have called us to, as we anticipate his second coming. We bring before you our brothers and sisters in Christ, in many parts of the world, who put up with hardship, persecution, and even martyrdom because of their faith. We do thank you for organisations such as the Barnabas Fund and Release International, who bring to our attention these situations and seek to offer help and support. Lord, we pray for the Russells who have had the COVID virus. We pray that you'll be with them and that you will restore them to health. And we give you thanks for how they serve you, both in the UK and in Erbil. We give you thanks too that Ben Quashy, the GAFCON General Secretary's operation for cancer went well. And we pray that in your mercy, you will bring him to full healing. And Father, we want to remember those in various places of the world who are suffering from the COVID-19 virus, especially countries who have health systems that aren't adequate, many because of conflicts or poverty. Father, we ask that you have mercy on them, we pray. And as we think of our nation, we are mindful that we are in many ways a godless nation these days. Lord, we just ask that our nation will rediscover a reverent fear of you. Lord, we pray for those who are seeking to care for patients who have coronavirus. Lord, we just ask your presence with them. Give them strength and energy, we pray. And Lord, we pray for those that are believers that have the virus. Lord, we pray that in this suffering that you may bring comfort to them. We pray for ourselves too, Lord. Help us to resist being as the world thinks. It's so easy, as we are fed secular information each day, to think on moral issues as the world does. Lord, help us to think biblically through these things. And Lord, we pray that in doing so, we may be willing to speak for you and to speak with wisdom and courage as we seek to defend biblical truth. And finally, Lord, we ask that in your mercy, you will grant repentance and revival to our land. Lord, you have worked in the past. Do so again, we ask. Lord, as we think of the immediate week coming, we pray that as we come out of lockdown, you will give the government wisdom in dealing with this pandemic and the difficult balance that they have of curbing our freedoms and seeking to restrict the spread of the virus. We thank you that a vaccine has been found, and we pray as it is produced and distributed that you will give wisdom to those overseeing this task. Lord, we pray that the vaccine will prove effective in preventing the virus spreading. And finally, we pray for ourselves. We do thank you for the church family here at Fordham and Atash Green. Help us to be encouraged in our faith and to truly care for one another. We again give thanks to you for the provision of Francis, Georgina and the family. And Lord, we pray for ourselves as we seek to share the gospel over this Christmas period. We ask that you will help us to be flexible in our thinking as we seek new ways to reach out at this time. We want to pray for this afternoon's Luke and Matthew's group. As they meet, we pray that you'll encourage them And we pray for your leading and guiding for the leaders regarding this. We pray for your guidance and wisdom as we seek to appoint a youth and children's worker to work alongside Francis. We thank you for the way funding was made available and ask that even now you will be preparing the one who is to come to us. We thank you for the way that you have sustained our finances in this difficult year and for the faithful way your church family has sought to meet our financial needs. And we pray that you will continue to lead us as we prepare to meet the challenges of 2021. Father, we want to remember Brian and Brenda Gant at this time, as Brenda isolates before going to Basildon Hospital for further cardiac investigation. Be with them at this difficult time, we pray, and give skill to the medical staff who will be caring for her. Finally, we remember those who are grieving at this time. We pray that you will bring your comfort and presence to them. We remember those who are lonely and feel isolated. Again, we ask that you will present yourself with them. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude our time of prayer by saying the Lord's Prayer together. So together, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Roger, for leading us in prayer. We're coming to the end of this service. Some items of church family news. With today's Advent message of staying focused on serving Jesus faithfully, I want to encourage you to press into church life this December. Thank you to everyone who participated in the Christmas planning and prayer Zoom. We're preparing to deliver a couple of Christmas leaflets to every home in the two villages. And this will be from the week beginning the 13th of December. Please contact Linda at the church office if you'd like to serve in this way. This morning from 11:30 to 12:30, please join me for our regular virtual coffee on Zoom. There'll be two breakout sessions to chat in small groups. And in the middle, we'll take time to discuss today's teaching focus. Chris Reynolds will be hosting us this week. This afternoon, the All Saints Club is meeting online, 3 p.m. for 4 to 11-year-olds and 4 p.m. for 11 to 15-year-olds. Join in for chat and games, Bible teaching, and prayer. As we've just heard in our prayers, from today we're going to join in on the Christian Institute's Week of Prayer for the UK. Details of how to access the daily prayer topics in this leaflet are in today's notice sheet. And this will stretch us beyond our immediate personal concerns to pray for important social issues in the life of the four nations. Then I invite you to join me on Wednesday at 7:30 for our December prayer focus evening. This meeting is at the heart of our gospel partnership as a church, and it's one easy way to participate in our church life at this time. We'll pray for one another's needs, for Christmas services and mission opportunities. We'll pray some of the topics in the week of prayer. And we'll also pray about the restructuring and clergy cuts that are going to take place across our diocese from 2021. The Zoom link will be emailed out on Tuesday. Please pray for Deanery Synod meeting this Tuesday evening, and then Christianity Explored continuing on Thursday. I was pleased to hear that many of you ordered a copy of Tim Chester's Advent book, Fixated, and this begins on Tuesday, the 1st of December, and details of how to pay for your copy are in the notice sheet. Next Sunday, we'll be able to return to in-person attendance at this 10 a.m. worship service, so that's good news. And I'm planning for it to be a Holy Communion service. Guidance on the December restrictions has only just been released, and we need to work through the details. So next week's notice sheet will clarify. We will continue the Advent focus with teaching on the Day of the Lord from Peter's second letter in the New Testament. Now, I'd like our church to run an online Christianity Explored course beginning next year in January, perhaps towards the end of the month. But we'll struggle to do this without one or two more new people to serve in this ministry. Roy, Jeanette, and Irene, who've been serving this year, will tell you what a great opportunity it is to lead on the course. And it enables you to play a part in people's eternal destiny. It is a wonderful ministry. So please do let me know if you'd like to serve in this way. Well, let's finish our service with a final prayer and a blessing. Heavenly Father, in this new week, please help us to be faithful to the tasks and responsibilities that you've given to us. May we serve your purposes through our church community and in the places where we work, study, and live. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you. Scatter the darkness from before your path and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.